And now, before the next program, there's just time to tell you about some of the exciting things later this evening. After the news, there is a repeat of Charles Robson's fascinating documentary on the Yolawi tribe of Central Africa, which my wife and I will probably listen to. Later, we shall have our evening meal, which tonight will be pork chops, which is just about my most favorite thing, and then a Bakewell tart with custard. And we'll probably finish up with a nice cup of hot milk. Then we shall go to bed, and if my wife has found her sleeping tablets that I've hidden in my briefcase, she will turn over and go to sleep. Yes. And now it's time for the next program.
We present Lines from My Grandfather's Forehead, a sequential entertainment for radio, starring Ronnie Barker, also featuring Terence Brady and Pauline Yates, with Gordon Langford at the piano and Dick Abell, banjo.
Come along now, ladies and gentlemen, roll up, roll up, roll up. Come and feast your flashing eyes on this veritable treasure trove that I've got here. Here we have, ladies and gentlemen, the multi-purpose red plastic finished glass cutter and gauger complete with knife sharpener at the other end. This remarkable article is so ludicrously simple it is laughable. The simplicity of this remarkable article is ludicrously laughable. This laughable article is so ludicrous it is simply remarkable. And what's more, I am here to prove it. This glass cutter, ladies and gentlemen, will never cut glass, be it thick, thin, coloured, clear or clouded. In fact, you will be very lucky if you can cut butter with it. Now then, if you've got any sort of knife that needs sharpening, pen knife, flick knife, fish knife or carving knife, this remarkable article, ladies and gentlemen, will never do it. This will make a hammer blunder, a mallet flatter and Gillette turn over in his grave. As for the glass gauger, there is no glass thick enough for the thick gauger, no glass thin enough for the thin one. This remarkable article is finished off in durable red plastic, which will break easily when dropped on the floor, splintering something considerable. Be that as it may, you will find the glass cutter most useful for digging lumps of splintered plastic out your feet. Now, if you are not satisfied with this remarkable article, you can come back tomorrow with the unsatisfactory goods and you'll find I'm not here anymore. This remarkable article, ladies and gentlemen, I am not asking 25 pence, I'm not asking 15 pence, I'm not even giving it away as a special offer, and I can assure you that this is the only place in the country that you'll get it at this price. I am asking 50 pence, one for you, sir, and one for you over there, sir. What about you, madam? Yes, two for madam over there, and one for the gentleman, sir.
Pardon me, Mac. I've been watching you parading up and down the sidewalk.
Yeah?
Tell me something. Why have you got your billboards the wrong way round?
It's me lunch hour.
Oh. What are you advertising?
That's my business.
You mind if I take a quick look?
Please yourself.
Thanks. It says the world will end at 2:00 today.
That's right.
2:00. You believe that?
Yeah, I painted it myself.
It's very nicely painted.
Thank you.
It's 2:05 now.
I know.
So that gives us another 5 minutes, according to you.
It does indeed.
Do you mind if I wait with you?
No, not at all.
I wouldn't want to miss it.
No.
Have you always done this kind of work?
What do you mean?
Well, predicting the end of the world, that kind of stuff.
This is my first day.
Oh. And presumably your last, too, huh?
That's right.
Unless, of course, you're wrong. Then you'd have to get yourself another job anyways, wouldn't you?
Why?
Well, I mean, there's no point in doing something you're no good at.
No, I suppose not.
Not exactly a job with prospects, is it? What made you take up this kind of work?
I drifted into it. I used to tell fortunes, but I gave it up.
Oh, why?
Couldn't see any future in it.
You know, I like you. I like the way your thoughts form themselves in your head and come out through your hat. You know something?
What?
It's 2:02. You know anything about motion pictures?
No.
I make motion pictures. I'm looking for a guy like you with a long beard. Picture I'm making in Tahiti. It's called 3,000 Girls on an Island. You'd be the only man in it. What do you say?
Would I have to act?
Man, you just have to act natural.
I mean, would I have to speak?
No, the way I plan to shoot it, you won't get time.
How much would I get paid?
You want money as well? Okay. Let's say $500 a week.
You're on. Help me off with these boards.
Good.
What? Oh, hang on. Oh, that's it.
Hey! Just a minute.
What?
What about the end of the world?
Oh, that can wait.
Ha ha! Hello.
Hello.
Nice day.
Oh, for God's sake, nice day. Is that all you've got to say for yourself? A nice day? Oh, really, man, what are you thinking about, talking about the weather? You want to get to know me, don't you?
Well,
you want to form a relationship with me? Well, you came to sit down here, craving personal contact, hoping against hope that some ineffable chemistry would take our two souls, fuse them and transmute them into spiritual entity, transcending experience itself. Didn't you?
Well, since you come to mention it...
Well, don't talk about the weather, then. Tell me about yourself, as a person. Who you are, where you were born, what your birth sign is, where you live. What sort of music you like? Well, what do you do?
Oh, well, I'm a meteorologist.
Really? What does that entail?
Talking about the weather.
Oh, yes. Well, go on then.
As I walked home on a summer night, when stars in heaven were shining bright, far away from the footlights' glare, into the sweet and scented air of a quaint old Cornish town. Borne from afar on the gentle breeze, joining the murmur of summer seas, distant tones of an old world dance, played by the village band perchance, on the calm air came floating the dawn. I thought I could hear the curious tone of a cornet, clarinet, and big trombone, fiddle, cello, big bassoon, flute, euphonium, and big bass drum. I thought I could hear the curious tone of the fiddle, clarinet, big bass drum, bassoon, flonic, clarinet, flute, euphonium, cello, fiddle, euphonium, piano, drums, and clarinet. Cheddle, fellow, big dress, bum, a flonet, flute, and flow. I thought I could boom the flottle horn of the beery battlenet and closey corn, fiddle, cello, big bass bone, clump, flump, and euphony bone, fiddle, throttle, bottle, and glass, in and out and up and down, dancing here, dancing there, jigging, jogging everywhere, each one making the most of his chance. Hurrah! For the carnal flourish dance.
And at this point in the program, I'd like to welcome Radio 2 listeners who've just joined us and bid a fond farewell to Radio 3 listeners who will be leaving us shortly. Hello also to listeners in Northern Ireland who will be sharing the next half hour with us, and goodbye to listeners in Scotland who have their own news program in Welsh. So, welcome Wales, and arrivederci Midlands, who are now listening to the evening shipping forecast for early morning farmers, while we move on to the Farmer's Report for Trawlermen, broadcast in Pakistani. Pakistanis have their own version of Suive la Piste during tonight's armchair theatre play, which is entitled Carpentry, Episode 3, How to Make an Armchair with Vanessa Redgrave and Percy Thrower. Are you receiving me, John Merton, in Sydney, who is sitting next to me in the studio, but whose voice will be relayed to Australia and back by satellite. Now, I could say something extremely profound at this moment, but I think I'll wait till later and spring it on you suddenly. And now...
Oh, well, you see, of course, the frame is contemporary as well, yes. So that makes it very right.
Beautiful.
It's very right.
Beautiful.
Yes, very, very, very good, Arnold, yes. oh, now, Gwen, perhaps you'd like to give us a prize, would you?
Well, of course, with this artist, I must admit a prejudice. I adore him. Mm. I'd be delighted if someone gave me an early Bartolozzi.
Oh, yes.
Enchanting engraver.
Absolutely.
Evocative summer idylls he conjures up for me. A beautiful pastoral.
Yeah. And a price?
£75.
That's incredible. Absolutely spot on once again, Gwen. £75 it is. Thank you. May we have the next item?
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, would you like to kick off on this?
It was my cufflink. These are early 19th century cufflinks. I don't know whether... anyway, sorry, yes, this...
Would you like... Well, perhaps you'd like to kick off on this, Gwen, would you?
Oh, this is much more Arnold. Don't you think, Arnold?
Thank you, yes. May I have it? Thank you, yes. Well, yes, this is Ming, of course. What a superb example it is. My word, yes. Just look at this workmanship.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Pattern in the underglaze. How the Chinese did, we still don't know. We still don't know how they did it. Oh, yes, superb example. Very, very rare. They made very few in this style during the Chia Qing period.
Yes, that's Chia Qing.
Oh, yes, around about 1522,
1566. Yes. Its value, have you any ideas, Gwen?
How can one value such a masterpiece?
Yes, indeed, yes. But it will be given a value when it is sold at auction next month.
Yes, that's very sad, but you're right. Right, a price will be paid for it, and I'm sure the bidding will be very competitive. See, it has this very unique colouring, this exquisite cobalt blue and white. It's unique, yes. It's unique, it's sublime. It's a masterpiece, and I wouldn't be surprised if it were finally sold for, 500,000.
500,000. Mm. Do you see it going to an American buyer?
Oh, yes. I see it going the same way as the old Greco, the Goya, the Titian, all going to rich homes in America.
Yes. Mm.
This magnificent Chia Qing vase. Beautiful incisions, you see. So reminiscent of the altar cups of the Xuan Tse dynasty. This magnificent British vase, this British treasure will go across the Atlantic like all the rest of our national heritage. The Americans have the money. They just buy and buy and buy and buy. And by and by, there won't be anything left. This vase, preserved so beautifully, preserved by the Duke of Runcorn's family with such care, such love. For 300 years. Well, it'll be sold by auction next month and bought by some American oil millionaire who'll put it into his ghastly ranch-style house in Texas where he'll invite his friends to come and envy it. They won't appreciate it, of course. All they'll appreciate will be the fact that it cost £500,000. And the Texas gentleman, if we can use such a word, has bought it as a hedge against inflation. I think it's appalling, really. I think it's time we said no. Stop. Enough's enough. I think it's time we stop this pillaging and looting of our national heritage. And I personally will not be a party to it any longer. We must protest. If we're English with blood in our veins, we must protest and stop this work of art, leaving this precious art. We've got to stop it now. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but if the British can't have it, no one shall have it.
Songs of Araby or old Afghanistan. I'd rather hear a song about an English gentleman. An English gentleman, my lads, who in his heart is sure that while Britannia rolls the waves, our empire will endure. What? Reactionary? Don't be so absurd. There's no law against singing a patriotic song, is there? Oh, let the breeds of heathen creeds do everything they can to try to be mistaken for an English gentleman. But they've not trod the English sod, so how are they to know the frogs begin at Dover, lads, 'cause fate decreed it so. What? Offensive? Nothing of the sort. It's a statement of fact. Well, for frogs, you can read Europeans if you like. So raise your foaming mugs of ale. I'll drink a toast with you. To every English gentleman and gentlewoman too. And when the last call comes, my lads, to end this mortal span, you'll find, of course, St. Peter is an English gentleman. What? Well, it's poetic license. Good Lord, if one isn't allowed a bit of poetic license in a patriotic song. Damn foreigners, they're everywhere nowadays. I don't know what the country's coming to. Deplorable state of affairs. Ah, good morning, Mrs. Dribbley.
Oh, yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning indeed. Papworth and Ruggins Builders.
Builders, Papworth and Ruggins.
Oh, yes, the Builders.
Back, just like we promised.
Back as soon as we could.
When I start something, I'd like to see it through.
Do come in, won't you?
Cool.
Here we are. Excuse the mess, but I'm just putting paid to yesterday's cold collation.
Oh, very nice too. We would have been back sooner, Mrs. Dribbley, but it's young Ernie here.
That's right.
Young Ernest. Went and got himself offered up on Saturday, offered up and rendered. Lovely wedding, though.
Had to miss the match, didn't I?
Oh, lovely wedding, though. Vicar did a lovely job.
Lovely.
Really solid, wasn't it, Ernie? Really solid.
Do me for years.
Yeah, lasting for years. That was a really nice job, that. Beautiful. He's a really beautiful joiner, the Reverend Stopgate. Lovely. When he puts them together, there's no one I know can sunder it.
Really solid.
Lasts for years. Dying art, though, isn't it? That sort of craftsmanship. I mean, it is dying out.
Had to miss the match, though.
Yeah.
Perhaps you'd like a brain sandwich. I was just putting paid to yesterday's collation.
It's a dying art.
Brain sandwich. Well, I don't know where we ought, Mrs. Dribbley. You see, there is work to be done. We've got to keep our wits about us. Isn't that right, Ernie?
There's a lot of work to be done.
I don't really know that we ought.
Well, you won't mind me, then. I do hate to see waste.
You go right ahead, Mrs. Dribbley. But if I may make so bold, I'm not at all sure that I like the look of your Queen of the Night pudding. No, I don't like the look of that at all.
Well, that's very odd then, Mr. Papworth. I followed the recipe like a knife.
I don't hold with a lot of recipes myself, Mr. Dribbley. Same as in football. Just the same as in football. Too many cooks. Too many recipes for fancy permutations. Only leads to apathy. That's what I subscribe to. Only leads to apathy.
Fulham lost last night.
See, look at your Queen of the Night pudding, Mrs. Dribbley. I mean, you got terrible subsidence there. Terrible. All down one side.
Just like Fulham.
Yeah.
Oh, and I followed that recipe like a knife.
Still, we can talk about that when we've finished off this job. That's one for the future, Mrs. Dribbley. We'll finish this job first. Have it finished today?
Straight off.
Yeah, no trouble. Finish it off before you can say recipe.
I was worried. You not finishing it off.
Don't you worry now, Mrs. Dribbley.
What with you starting it all off.
Yeah.
Instigating it, if you like.
Don't you worry, madam. We don't like leaving anything unfinished, to be honest.
Not really, we don't like it.
No, not leaving things unfinished like. We'll have this job sewn up this morning, straight off. You've got to admit, Mrs. Dribbling, that is a nice job. Tasty, that.
Really tasty.
I mean, that's nice point in that. You've got to admit, I like to see a nice bit of bricking myself, and you've got to admit, this is a nice piece of work.
Tasty, not like Fulham.
Quality work, that.
Three flaming nothing.
I think it's very nice, Mr. Papworth. Very nice. Nice and solid.
Well, last for years, that...
That's what I'm after this time. Something solid that'll last me for years.
Substantial.
Nice and solid.
Well, that's what it is. Substantial, that. And by the time we've got the final few bricks in place and it's all replastered, you'll have no idea what's behind it. Is that right, Ernie?
No idea at all.
Like Flaming Fulham.
I'll be pleased when the final few bricks are up. I don't like seeing it like that.
No, it makes you uneasy, really.
Seeing it like that? I'll be relieved when you're finished. It's been a difficult time, Mr. Papworth, as I'm sure you'll appreciate.
Which always is, Mr. Dribbling. Having the builders in, I do appreciate that. That and your own more personal predicament.
It's not been easy.
We'll have it all finished before you can say knife.
And then you'll... Have a look at my pudding.
Then I'll have a good look at your pudding, Mrs. Dribbling, see what we can do.
Is that right, Ernie?
You'll see what you can do.
Don't you worry about a thing, Mrs. Dribbling. Ernie will top it all off now. Be plastered and finished before you know where you are.
Oh, I'm glad. You were recommended.
And I trust we have come up to recommendation, Mrs. Dribbling?
Well, it's a bit premature, but I'm well pleased.
Then that's the main thing. Isn't that right, Ernest? That is the main thing.
Oh, she's well pleased.
He'd have liked it. He's always respected good pointing.
Then that's the main thing. If he'd have liked
it. Oh, certainly. He really respected good pointing and grouting.
Hmm. Very little to touch it, really. Now then, if you'd like to cast your eyes over this, Mrs. Dribbling, while we top it all off, you have a good look over that to see if there's anything that you disagree with.
Or don't like.
That's it, Ernie. You have a good look.
The bill.
That's it, Mrs. Dribbling, the bill. As per estimate. 2, walling up and making good 1 husband in freshly excavated hole in pantry, £55. I think that's what we agreed, Mrs. Dribbling.
Yes, seems quite fair to me.
Yeah, it's what we agreed.
I'm quite happy.
The £55 does include the labour and materials.
Yes, quite happy.
When young Ernest is finished here, you won't even know we've had the bricks out. Now then, let's have a good look at that pudding of yours,
I'm right in thinking you do like my Queen of the Night pudding, Mr. Papworth.
Quite correct, Mrs. Dribbling. And if I'm to sample some this evening, then I would really like it to be spot on.
We'll start again from scratch, Mr. Papp.
From scratch. Make a really good job of it. Is that right, Ernest? Make a really good job of it.
That's right. Solid.
I'm quite happy.
Then that's the main thing.
The Minister for Population. Following the setting up of the Ministry for the Control of Population Units, or COPUL, 9 months ago today, it seemed an appropriate time for me to give birth to the General, tell you, in fact, the facts of life about our present interesting condition, a condition that will allow us to bear the fruit of our labours in due time, or at the end of a term, or even prematurely. As I was saying in the club the other night, one must do one thing or the other, preferably because every potential mother has it within her grasp. That is, we couldn't do without her, or if we did do without her, we couldn't without her doing what we would rather she didn't, and so on. There's no two ways about it. In fact, there's only one way about it, unless, of course, we do without it altogether. And that is the question we must all ask ourselves. Can we, or better still, can we not, and if not, why not? And when we have satisfied ourselves that what we get out of life is no more than we put into it, we shall have solved the most important problem and be well on the way to a series of happy events. I end with a slogan from the time of this country's longest period of suspense. Say to yourself, when you see your wife taking off her, pulling down her, going up her stairs, and you are about to follow, be honest with yourself and say, is my journey really necessary? Because, and would it be safer to leave it in the cold? In the cold light of day, I'm sure she will thank you for it. Thank you, good night, and sleep tight.
What's the matter?
The baby.
Oh. What about the baby?
Listen.
I can't hear anything.
Listen.
No, nothing.
Listen.
Nothing.
Exactly. Nothing. I can't hear him.
Well, he's asleep.
But I can't hear him breathe. Put on the light.
Oh, very well.
Listen, you see? Nothing.
Well, don't wake him up. It took over an hour to get him to sleep.
He's ill. I'm sure he's ill.
Well, he looks all right from here.
Oh, he's all right. He is breathing.
He went to sleep then.
But he's flushed. Very flushed. How can you just lie there, hunched up in bed, snoring your head off, while your only son, your 2-month-old son and heir, is flushed?
He's just hot.
But why is he hot? He's got a temperature. He must have.
No, of course he hasn't.
Lucky I bought a thermometer.
Oh, leave him. I'll wake him.
Here we are. I'll just slip it under his arm, and we'll soon know whether he has a temperature or not.
Oh, God, well, hurry up, then. I've got a busy day tomorrow.
I knew he wasn't well. Intuition. What's a normal temperature? I mean, what should his temperature be?
Oh, I don't know. 100. 100, isn't it? Something like that.
It can't be 100. That's boiling, isn't it? Boiling.
Boiling? Oh, well, it's 90-something. 90-something. Or maybe it's, I don't know, 30-something. It's in my diary. A chart, a list of all those things.
Oh, well, we'd better look it up, then.
What is this time of night?
Well, it could be an emergency.
All right, all right. Pass me my jacket over. My diary's in here. Wait a minute. I'll look it up. Here it is.
Well?
24th. Tomorrow's the 25th. Thursday.
What? I want to know what his normal temperature should be.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. It's in here somewhere. Don't rush me. Bank holidays, weights and measures. Grass shooting. Important dates. Did you know that Ramadan ends on November the 7th?
I remember, from the girl guides. It's 98.4. I did it in first aid.
Well, read the thermometer and perhaps we can get some sleep.
Well, you hold the baby then. Come on, hold him.
No.
I'll read the thermometer.
No, you hold the baby, I'll read the thermometer.
Oh, very well, there you are. What's it say?
It's not too clear. Manufactured by T. Woods and Sons, surgical instrument makers, Leicester.
This is no time to be funny. What's the mercury doing? You must read it right away or else it melts. Or rises or falls or something.
All right, yes. Yes, I can see. It's 98.2.
What? 98.2? That's low.
Well, that's all right then. It's better low than high.
But it's not normal, is it? 98.2 is 98.4, is it?
No, no. Oh, yes, it's 98.4. Look, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's four there.
Well, if you're really sure, I'll put him back into his cot.
Yes, do, yes. Quickly, before he wakes up.
I shan't change him.
No, no, don't change him. Let's keep him. We'll grow to love him, don't worry.
Oh, don't try to be funny. I'm exhausted. It's after 2.
Yeah.
Back to bye-byes.
Oh, bye-byes. I've got a meeting in less than 7 hours. Oh, I'll put the light out, will you?
Oh, sorry, darling. Sorry I woke you. But we can't be too careful.
It's all right, you're a wonderful mother. Just perfect.
Night, night, darling. You're a pretty good father.
You've been listening to Lines from My Grandfather's Forehead, starring Ronnie Barker, with Terence Brady, Pauline Yates, Gordon Langford at the piano, and Dick Abell, banjo. The lines were written by Terence Brady, Peter N. Christie, Donald Churchill, Bert Fisher, John Graham, Christopher Langham, Roy Lomax, Chris Miller, Katie Moss, Miles Rudge and Gordon Langford, Alan Scott and Chris Bryant, and Gerald Wiley. The program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.